Welcome, and thank you for listening in. You are listening to Being Love, and I'm your host, Promise K. I thank you for being here. So, this show is a journey, well, my journey, on how I am becoming love, or in ways I am becoming love. So yes, thank you for being here. I was incredibly amazed. Well, I don't know why. I mean, it is a podcast that can be accessed by people, so it is online. But I was still incredibly amazed when I saw that there's people actually listening in. Since I haven't shared a podcast with anyone, not even with my family yet. I don't even know why. But I was really impressed to know that there's people listening in. So thank you and welcome. I am incredibly touched and amazed that people are listening and consistently. And the viewers seems to be growing every time in different countries. Wow, I am really grateful. Thank you. That really was a big shock and kind of made me think, where do I want this to go and what is my aim with this podcast anyway? Because when I started it, it was just an impulse, you know, let me just do this. I record myself all the time anyway, so why not record and put it somewhere where I can always access it? That was the deal. So I never really thought it through, what I really want to talk about besides ways of being love. And seeing like the stats and just seeing it take off, I thought, wow, okay, I need to somehow professionalize it, air quotes, or at least put some order into the whole thing. I had no idea how the podcast worked. Very first few episodes, I actually didn't understand and posted 3 different episodes in one episode because I didn't know what the segments were and all of that. So that was a learning curve. Still don't know a bunch of stuff. I'm just sitting here and recording in my phone and putting it online. So it's going to be a learning journey. So please bear with me and the quality of the sound and my editing ability or my lack thereof editing ability. But there can only be growth, right? When you start from not knowing, then it can only grow. Now I publish only one episode, not 3 in one episode. It's a progress. So yeah, in a nutshell, thank you very much for listening in. I truly appreciate you. And yes, this is a show where I talk about my journey in being love, or what I'm currently dealing with, or in ways that I'm trying to be better in being love, and my experience. That's all there is. So yes, thank you for being here. And now let's get down to this show. Okay. So on this evening's episode, I will be continuing from my last episode, my previous episode, which was titled Connecting with Our Ancestors. So I was listening in that episode again, and I realized that I'm coming from a perspective that everyone kind of already understands or is open to the idea of ancestors and connecting with our ancestors, or the idea of systemic work, or understanding that our system or our family system kind of affects the way our life plays out in our, you know. So I thought, look, let me just take a step back and really go back into how I got to understand ancestral work, how I got to really grasp the idea and make it my own, how I even maneuvered it to fit what was already existing in my life. So in a lot of ways, I had to include different parts that I was learning along the way, make them my own. In reality, human beings, we always tend to want to be with what's comfortable. So the us versus them is always very real in our day-to-day life. You know, either it's how we can identify ourselves. It's like how we can know this is us if there's something that's not us. So in terms of just how we live, like culture, or you see it as religion or whatever, what shapes us in our walking lives, it's always then against something else. Like either in religious setting, you know, there's this religion versus that religion, or this tradition versus that culture, etc. So I always had a problem, I would say, with that, with exclusion. So I kind of resisted whatever was not including something else. For instance, if at home they were pro-Christianity and excluded everything else, so I resisted Christianity and wanted everything that it excluded. And I only could really understand it as an adult, what was really happening and how I was really processing that exclusion, that I wanted it and that meant I had to still deny this side of mine and not include it. You know, it took me a while to think, you know what, I want to bring everything in, because even when I'm on the other side, I still want to include the other side, and then it's a moomish. So yeah, I'm just going to take a step back and start from what do I mean by parts of me that I had to include, or this inclusion that I felt was missing. So a very simple example. When I was growing up, I liked a certain kind of style, I would say, like a fashion style, maybe. I don't know if they have specific names, but a certain style, maybe more feminine dresses or whatever. But also I would like maybe jeans and whatever. But whenever I'm in this one column, it almost felt like I have to identify with, oh, I'm a woman that only wear dresses, and that's all. You know, I just wear feminine stuff and I don't include that which is not dresses. And even if I would see something that I really like that's not a dress, I can't include it because it's not within those parameters of feminine wearing or something like that. So yeah, that's kind of the simplest way my brain can explain this right now. So when I came to make a point that I want to include everything and bring in a whole, take wisdom from everything that has some wisdom to share with me, and include it in my life and see how it can fit in my life. Firstly, I had to see everything in a very respectful way and give everything a platform, which meant, in a nutshell, to remove judgment from anything, which is very difficult to kind of deal with those cultural judgment or cultural things that we learn growing up, that these are bad, these people are good. And it's so subtle, but we learn those things very early. But we have to kind of get over those barriers in order for us to be able to include everything that is valuable to us. So the reason why I'm saying this in connection to ancestral work, so I've already mentioned previous episodes that I grew up completely Christian, and everything that was not Christian was not accepted. Actually, even other form of Christianity was not accepted. So it had to be this particular Christianity, this particular church, and everything else, Amashabbat, everything else is wasn't accepted. So obviously growing up, I saw a lot of people were living different traditions, different religions, especially that we're in African country, there's a complete wide range of believing in way of living. People are governed by different methods, not just Christianity. So I was completely against Christianity. I was really rebellious against it. Although when I felt really scared and fearful, which was not a lot of times, but when I did, I always found refuge in like Christian scripture or something that I grew up listening to or finding hope in. So I wasn't completely rebellious against it, but I kind of took a spin around the world. Luckily I got to really travel young and was exposed to different cultures, religions, and just different ways people were living. When I was growing up, I thought the world is black and white, legit, and maybe few other people in between, but I didn't even think they were that significant. So growing up in Soweto, my pyramids were kind of limited. So going out in the world and really experiencing the fullness of the world, I think it's a gift. And in that gift, I really learned about different kind of religions, different kind of cultures, different kinds of people, how they actually decide to live their life. And I allowed myself to learn from all those different kind of places. So for instance, when I was traveling through Africa, I've only been to, I think, 5 countries now. Looking forward to going to more countries. But when I was traveling through there, I realized the richness of tradition, just how tradition was still valued and how it was still followed, right? And the inclusion there of Christianity was so much different from the way I experienced it, because it included their African traditions. So it was kind of made to fit that situation. I think of the church called Ushembe, for example, in KZN, that really had made it their own, and a lot of other religions/churches/traditions. But then I started being out in like other continent and really experiencing their ways of being beside Christianity. Asia, for example, I fell in love with the tradition of Buddhism, Hinduism, and I still think they were probably the first eye-opening for me, like really acknowledging myself, my full potential self, and acknowledging other human beings. Like before I came across Buddhist religion or culture, they always say it's not religion, so I'll say culture. I think I was very limited. I really was living in my own world, like we all do, and really didn't do any introspection and really look within. I really didn't know myself. And that helped me really look into myself and be still and know myself. Really, really know myself. So I really settled down to the comfort of being still and feeling my body and breathing and realizing the colors and the beauties around me. That was through Buddhism, and I didn't experience that before, certainly. So for the couple of years, I would say maybe three years, I was intensely into Buddhism. Nothing else could grab my attention. Around this time, I decided to not eat meat anymore, so I was eating only vegetarian. Went to meditation classes every week for like 1.5 hours. Loved it. Read a lot of books. I really read a lot of books. So I got a lot of insight. I really looked into myself in a more detailed manner, in a more insightful manner. But in the same time, I really couldn't nurture relationships and friendships around me. So that part suffered. So, because it was all about me. It was really selfish, but in a good way, because I had to really focus on myself. And so when all of that was happening, I realized, oh my God, I need to somehow not be... I felt good, but also I felt dragged down. And I couldn't really explain what was happening. I could spend hours meditating, and that's all I could then do. I couldn't kind of mirror that into my normal life, like go back to being normal and, you know, interact with people normally and have beautiful relationships without being alone in a room reading or whatever, meditating. So I found that it made me also lonely in a way, and I guess, you know, I didn't balance it, and I was just thrown in there. I didn't really have a mentor. I mean, I had the guru that was teaching us meditation and stuff. It was a really, really great guy. He was also from Soweto, and you know, he used to be a teacher. He was a cool black dude who was then running these meditations, and me and him would really have talks, and he would encourage me to just go back to my life the way I used to know it, but include what I'm now learning. But again, I was riding the mountain, as my father would say. Thank you, Belinda. I was riding there, and I was really not with people. I remember a friend of mine was a really close friend of mine. She still is. She had a dream about me, and I was in a mountain. I was very still and meditating, and she came the next day. She bought me a marble statue of a Buddha meditating. She said, I dreamt you were sitting still meditating, and I get why you're not going out. I get why you lost all the weight, because I lost a bunch of weight from not eating meat. I was eating very clean smoothies to a point where it was actually like, woman, you need to start eating food, because I was then... I just went completely way on the other side, where it had to be clean, it had to be green. I didn't want to eat too much. I wanted to feel the hunger, you know, I wanted to be hungry before I eat. And even when I'm hungry, I would let the hunger stay there and really just listen to it. I don't even know where I got that, but it was an intense time. But I suddenly knew that I need to include more, right? So at the same time, I slowly went back into my root in terms of my father's roots of Christianity, and I included it more, and it spoke to me more about family, family values, even God, connecting to God, while I was focused only on connecting to my body and myself and keeping myself still. I wasn't focused on something greater than me, surrendering to something bigger. So that's when I think Christianity kind of reminded me back of something bigger than myself. And I found comfort in that. I found comfort in then having something else that I can rely on. I also kind of had to put more energy and more love and care to relationships near me, not just my spouse, but, you know, friendships, siblings and stuff. Philosophy, when we look to the West, also help me kind of understand my fellow human beings, really. I think philosophy to me has always played an amazing role in telling me that these people are just like me. Actually, we go through the same thing pretty much, and we're all trying to figure things out here, you know, on our own, kind of. So there you go. So now I had to look back to my ancestors, really. There was no any other options but that, right? So when I got to then include African traditions in my toolkit, so now I have my Asian side, my Buddhism, I have philosophy on my side, I have Christianity on the back. Now I wanted to include, not even knowing that I wanted to include, so it came to me, so it felt I was ready. A friend of my husband's invites me to this constellation, to family constellation, and I then got introduced to African family constellation through that before I even decided to take the training. Had no idea what it was about, but I got introduced basically right after I have lost my dad. So 2 months after my dad has passed, I got introduced to this, which was a perfect timing, I think, because it kind of gave me the permission to invite my dad in my life, to connect with him and to let him live forever in my life and in my family's life, right? To honor him. Although my father was a complete Christian man, he valued traditions. He loved his traditions, I would say. And he was married to, well, he had partnered with two women who were Sangomas, who were traditional healers. So he saw value in that. And he would always advise us to take herbs and stuff. So I know that he loved that part of things, the traditional part of it. So now being introduced to my ancestors, or to my family that have lived before, and now we call them ancestors, but they really are my flesh and blood, you know. The youngest ancestor now, which is my dad, was the closest person in my family. I truly enjoyed our moment here on earth while he was still physical, and it was just sad to me to grasp that he's gone. My dad was pretty young, died at 56, so that's not old, and without any notice, really, you know. So, you know, it was quite difficult to grasp, but then connecting with him afterwards brought such comfort, such but it was familiar, and I connect to him. I can recognize his presence. I can recognize him, and I keep him alive in myself and in my family. So how did I then just do this? So firstly, I always say that everyone is intuitive, and anyone and everyone can connect to the divine, to the stream of life, to the knowledge of life, right? But we need to kind of train ourselves to be more present, to be more aligned. And I think my years where I was in the mountain, when I was meditating and eating all clean, I learned how to really be present. And I think that's very important in connecting with our guides, our ancestors, is to learn to be present in the moment. Present here. Mediums, people that can see into things, maybe tarot readers and crystal ball readers, I don't know, sangomas, they have mastered the art of being present and being present enough that you can tap into the truth of that moment, that particular moment. Can you tap into that truth? And we can all learn that. We can all cultivate that within ourselves. Okay, so it came very easy to me to tap into those worlds, to be present and to speak and listen, to really listen and quiet my mind and hear what my dad, for example, wants to say to me, and whether someone else wants to say to me. Also, there's great meditations that you can try, where people can guide you into allowing you to tap into those energies. With me, it was very simple, or at least for me, because I've already done so much work prior before that. So after I was truly introduced to family constellation, well, African family constellation, and I understood that I don't have to fear my ancestors. I don't have to fear people that have lived and saw it quite different from when I was growing up. I gave myself permission, if I must, gave myself permission to establish a relationship. I said to myself, yes, my dad has passed and he's no longer physical. I cannot walk up and see him walking to me. I cannot eat his food anymore that he cooked for me. I can't see his flesh, right? But I can still tap into his essence. I understand that he was way greater than the flesh. When he was still alive, my daddy said to me, he's tired of being in this flesh. It's limiting. And he felt he's big. He was the funniest thing. Everyone always laughed at my dad. They called him crazy. He would say the funniest things. He said, I just want to fly. I feel like I'm being held back. I want to fly. And when I remember him like that, when I remember that essence, I tap into it and I get the dad that's so much greater, that I have never even experienced him like that. I've never had to even, I don't know, I've never allowed myself, I guess, to experience him like that, to experience his full greatness, his full potential. And to really have something like that on my back is a bonus. It's like, wow. I guess I can talk more on other episodes, how to be more present on, or maybe do some meditation. But I've mentioned this before. The very simplest way that they've taught me to welcome ancestors or to start that connection is to take a bow and honor them like you would honor your creator. So we take my dad, for instance. I'm in my meditative state. I am relaxed and comfortable with my body first before I invite anything. And it's always advisable, I would say, to create a space for yourself where you can really be comfortable. Maybe light a candle, maybe have a fire going, maybe drink something nice that you really enjoy, and create a space. And in that space, invite the good. Don't forget that part. Invite only that which is good for you, because there's all kind of different energies around us. So you only want to invite only that which is good for you. So once you're in that space, you are nice and calm. You bring the person in front of you. Maybe if you can't imagine them with your eyes open, you can close your eyes slightly. And what I like to do when my eyes are closed to make myself really present and grounded is to focus on my eyelids when they shut, that black just that clear, that state of blackness when your eyes are closed, focusing on that while breathing and breathing, and allow yourself to really relax into your body. And only then, when you're truly present with your body, you can really tap into those energies. The way I then do the bow, I would invite my dad in and just start by standing up and gently but slowly bow your head to whatever position it allows you to bow. If it allows you to bow all the way where your chin is touching your chest, that's great. So you can bow and see if your shoulders do want to follow the same posture. And bow all the way down and say, I'm your daughter, you are my father, or you are my mother, you're my uncle, you whoever. And I thank you for my life. I invite you to be here in my console cycle. I invite you to guide me, to be a guide for me, that I can, you can be my resource, that I can find in you that which I need for my life, right? And I want you to be my counsel, because in olden days, the king had counsels, had advisors, even presidents have advisors, even big CEOs have advisors. So I see them as advisors, and it doesn't only have to be your own bones and flesh. So it doesn't have to only be your ancestors. You have guides, you have spirits, animals, just anything that you find, it's very resourceful to you. Can be Christ, can be Allah, whoever you find, you get so much resource from. To me, honestly, it's everyone. I know it's weird. Right now, I'm connecting a lot with my father since it's been a year now. I think, is it? No, been 3 years. I know, it's been 2 years. Gonna be 3 years. It felt every time like it just happened. So it's been quite a short amount of time. However, every time I connect with him, it just feels new. I keep him alive in me, and it have done me so much good in just a lot of ways. And he's been such a great counsel, such a great help, really, to calm me down. And I've grown so much since, honestly, I have. But beside him, I have a lot of animals that I found resources from, that I love the way they work. Like, for example, the spider. I really love the spider. So whenever I want to really work, but not just work, but I want to be creative, I want to create beauty and be, you know, quite articulate about things, I think of that energy, and I invite myself to gain strength from that energy, if you know what I mean. So yeah, today's episode was a lot of information and a lot of still not organized. I promise I'm gonna get better and organize this episode so much better. Maybe I should start writing script. I don't know. But it's a work in progress. So again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. I will leave my details down below. If you have any comment or anything to share, you are welcome to email me. I'll leave my email. And yes, it's a wrap from Being Love. I hope you gained something today. It was a little bit out of the place. Thank you for listening. See you again next week. I'm your host, Promise K. And bye-bye, my loves.